boxwood blight could well become a big problem in Illinois. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice. From our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it is Mr. Patrick Murphy. Hi, Murph.
Hello, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, Murph has the lowdown on boxwood blight. Plus, also, we're going to have advice for a listener regarding seeds. But this boxwood blight, this
bummer.
Boxwoods, they're very popular. This could be a problem.
I think it is a bummer because I love boxwoods. It's a real common adaptable shrub. That means they're not from here, but they live here kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the boxwood blight this time around is, it is devastating. There have been other similar blights in the past, but they were largely absorbed by the growers and by the landscapers that were either growing the same plant or buying from these growers.
So basically they just got rid of the plants that they had that had blight. That way they weren't taking it out into the community where it could get spread.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Good for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice, responsible business ownership. The cost involved in removing these from the landscape, that is one big cost. Think of another big cost that the landscaper has is, oh, I installed these boxwoods in 15 different projects or 115 different projects.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to go out and get them and put something suitable in their place.
Well, first of all, tell us, what is boxwood blight? Would we know it if we saw it?
You would probably know it. And I've got some of the identification characteristics that include leaf spots that are either kind of a light tan to a dark brown in color. And they are oftentimes circular in their shape, and then around that leaf spot or that lesion is kind of a yellowish area. If it's on the edge of the leaf or near the spine in the center of the leaf, it'll be either semicircular or V-shaped in those areas. And there's also with it a stem canker. And that's like if, you know, like a blister gets so bad that it cracks, you know, it kind of looks like that. Cankers kind of look like that on all woody plants. And then the last stage of the infestation, if you will, is defoliation, which means it's going to drop those awesome evergreen fleshy leaves that we love boxwoods for so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just exclusive to boxwood. In the Buxaceae family, there's also Pachysandra. And there's another sweet box, which is more common, say, Nashville and south. It's another broadleaf evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
Saracoca is the genus for that. They are all susceptible to it, but boxwood is clearly the most common victim.
Is this easy to spread?
Easy to spread, because it turns out that this blight is a type of phytophthora. And phytophthora is a disease that is spread through the splashing of rain, and it's driven by the wind.
Oh.
So if it, you know, it's a rain with no wind, the plants that are around the infected one, they get splashed and they catch it. But when we have a thunderstorm like we just had recently, and that bacteria is in the soil, or it's on the lower parts of another plant when it rains and it gets splashed around, so it spreads quickly. And that same disease is associated with some other similar, but not the exact same, diseases that are attacking our conifers, our needled evergreens. So that's the bad news. You know, the good news is the only way to fix it, I guess, is avoidance, isolation, or eradication. So I want everybody to know I have some great big boxwoods that were a transplant from an abandoned piece of property, and they've been in our yard for 3 years, and by golly, they're starting to show that kind of tan-colored haze. They've got it. I'm going to have to get rid of them.
Oh, no. You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. And this week, boxwood blight, we don't want to be seeing this spreading through Illinois.
No, so I'm not leaving off pesticides or herbicides, because that's what we like at Grow, and Grow Corporate wants us to foster being good stewards of the environment.
Right.
Practicing integrative pest management by using chemicals as a last resort. But there's not a chemical under the sun that's going to fix this.
Oh, no.
You just have to get rid of them. So if, say you've got the situation, and I have in my house, you got one that's got it, well, get rid of it. And you might enjoy the ones you have left that are not infected a little while longer.
Mm-hmm.
But, I like to make comparisons with things. So this is the person that you're going to break up with that you just haven't done it yet. So that's one way to look at it. You know what's coming. You just haven't done anything about it yet. There are lots of other suitable replacements for the broadleaf evergreen boxwood that we all love.
Okay.
There are many hollies, azaleas, rhododendrons that are hardy here, and they're resistant to a lot of the common problems you get with them. So it's not a total loss.
Well, that's what we look forward to, not a total loss.
Right.
So we'll keep our eye on boxwood blight, and hopefully they can nip it in the bud, as it were, and it won't get too bad here in Illinois.
Someone will come out with one that's resistant because they've done that before.
Mm-hmm. So let's hope
we have that to look forward to.
Great. All right, now we've also got a question we're going to get to right quick here on Grow from Peggy in Carlock, Illinois. And she wrote in at WGLT at our website, WGLT.org.
Yes.
She says, I ordered some gardenia seeds and couldn't get them to grow. What should I have done differently?
Well, I wasn't able to get a hold of Peggy, but I would like to because I could narrow down the problem. So I thought about what are the most common problems that people run into with seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Depth, too depth, too shallow, too deep.
Right? Okay, yeah.
Too wet, or the soil that they're planted in is compacted. That reduces oxygen levels, which is important and it's needed. Seed viability, that might not be the case in Peggy's scenario because she indicated in her statement that she'd just gotten these seeds.
Right.
But a lot of times older seeds, if they're not stored properly, they'll just basically dry out and wither because something else is absorbing the moisture and the life in those seeds. That is why oftentimes seeds are in coated paper envelopes because they're really great for maintaining the seeds.
Uh-huh.
But aside from that, if they germinated but then they fell over, you've got a damping off issue. The basics when it comes to seed is that they all need the proper amount of water, sunlight, and oxygen, and the proper soil. So if your seed is not germinating for some reason, it's one of those factors.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe she should try a different type of soil that what she was using. Maybe it was an old soil and she needed a new potting mix maybe.
Right. And that's why I thought maybe if I could just have a brief conversation with Peggy and I'm going to continue to try and reach her. But I've seen folks plant seeds in the pot full of soil that's just left there from last year.
Yeah.
And it's dried and it's baked in the house or in the windowsill, wherever it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's started to fossilize almost. It's so smashed and all the little pores that held water before have collapsed and there's not even air there.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes when you plant with less than opportune conditions, the weak point is going to show up.
Okay, that's great. And, there's no way you can just look at a seed and go, hey, that's going to work. Oh, no, that's not going to work.
Only if you had the good one and the bad one side by side.
Then you could compare and contrast.
Right. Or if you're a biology expert, which I am not. But there are plenty at ISU that could do that. But that's not an everyday observation for the gardener.
Okay. Well, hopefully, Peggy, you can get better seeds, and hopefully you can get some lovely gardenias this coming season. We have our fingers crossed for you. Now, if you have a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, you can go to our website. It's wglt.org/grow. Fill in the form and send it along to us. By the way, next week, we're talking about potatoes in time for St. Patrick's Day. So stay tuned for that episode. If you've got a question about other types of things you can plant, we'd love to hear from you. Submit your questions. Again, that's at our website. It's wglt.org/grow.